Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, all these different things that we're talking about the signs of the times and things taking place, realize that God has some awesome plans in store for the earth and for his people. Many people are going to come rushing to him. He's saving the best for last. He tells us when his first miracle, when he manifests his glory, when he shows his awesomeness, when his mother tells him that go to the master of the banquet here because he has some things he needs you to do, because they ran out of wine. They ran out of wine. And he turns the water into wine. And the head of the banquet, the man who headed the banquet up, he said, listen, he said, this is the best wine. This is the best wine. Most people have the best wine first, and then as people drink more and more, they bring out the lesser quality of wine. But somebody has saved the best for last. And that's what God is doing. God is, awesome things are still going to happen, but understand, I think we're getting really close to this end time. And the best is yet to come. But understanding that God, just like he poured out the wine, and as he poured the water, it turned into wine as he poured it. When God's going to begin to pour out his spirit, he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. On all flesh. This is the sign of his coming and his soon coming. I remember seeing this at the Brownsville Revival, where it didn't matter whether you were a sinner or a repentant. It didn't matter whether you were saved or not saved.
Mm-hmm.
God began to just pour out his spirit on everybody that decided to go after him. And in the end, you found out, who has repented and who didn't, and who was in her. And it's amazing. And many people, because they experienced the goodness of God, they did repent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's kindness leads to repentance. But you can see, it's an amazing thing when you begin to see whoever comes after him or comes around him, and he begins to pour himself out. It's just amazing to watch them experience God, the very God that they may have been denying or rejecting a few moments ago. Now they're shouting and testifying about his awesomeness. Why? Because God poured out his spirit. And it's interesting too that that those who claim to be some special folk, you know, hey, I do this and I do that, and they're talking about their gift, that it's so unspecial that everybody's going to do moving every gift in the last day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be no, you know, big eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be us, the body of Christ, and God pouring himself out. And we're beginning to see, you know, signs of that with us, you know, the churches that are going after God and abiding with God. And I encourage you, if you've been wondering what program you need next for your church, I got it for you. It's at iabide.org. You need to begin to abide with God and teach others to do the same. And you'll find out that's all you need to do is to hear God and obey God. But this, God is Jesus is saving his best for last. The outpouring, the best wine is about to be poured out in the last days on the face of the earth. And we're just going to see this huge move of God and a great end time harvest before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And so I want to encourage you, despite what you might be seeing, despite what's being fulfilled in our very faces, all the prophetic fulfillments that are taking place, understand that the kingdom of God is forever. That greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Lord is able to protect you, though 1,000 falls at your right side and 10,000 at your left. Nothing's going to come near you because God is with you. Understand these things will be happening, but you will be protected in that by God, and others will see how you're protected, and they'll be drawn to God because you just stood for God in the midst when everybody else was actually falling apart emotionally and all these different things taking place. Many people will be saved just by watching God in your life. And so the best is for last. He says he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And the prophet Joel talked about it as well. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, you know, all his ministry and all of his miracles and everything he did, he said, listen, greater things will you do than he did, because he's going to be with the Father. Listen, there's a greater move coming. There's a greater move coming, and God's looking for someone who will believe him for this greater move. Somebody that will believe him and say, God, I want to be a part of that. To be a Charles Seymour that just cries out to God and say, God, I want that in my generation. You know, I want an outpouring. We talk about outpourings. That's what it is. God's pouring out his spirit. God just pours out his spirit in a powerful way, and people begin to be transformed. Cities begin to be transformed. Even nations begin to be transformed. America is a very large nation geographically, but it's 300 million people. But it doesn't take long for things to spread across this nation and begin to become a part of its culture. Well, understand, with God, that can take place. And understand, he said it, that the best is yet to come, that there's going to be a great outpouring. God has saved his best for last, which means what? That you can raise your expectations. You can raise your expectations and say, you know what, God? I believe you. I want to receive that. I want to be a part of what's taking place in the world. In my generation, I do not want to leave this earth with any regrets. I want to do everything I can for you during the time that you've given me right here. I want to be one that it forcefully advances your kingdom on the face of the earth. Lord, here I am. Send me. I'm willing to go to a nation. I'm willing to go to a people group who haven't even heard about you yet. I'm willing to go to the young people where most people, I believe 80% of people who find God and accept Jesus is under 18 years of age. Think about it. That's a ministry from 4 to 14 that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, you want to be a part? Be a part by beginning to preach the kingdom of God and move in repentance. I don't know if you guys heard about this or not, that Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat, his mother, I remember seeing pictures of him getting baptized. He's getting baptized, I think, at the, the Atlantic. And he's tall. He's big. Mm-hmm. And the two ministers that were baptizing him came up to his knee. It was so, I was like, that is just precious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, come down here so we can put you in the water. And he was standing in the water beside them. Mm-hmm. And they looked like two little children standing beside him. Wow. And, but he had a very rough upbringing. You know, his mother was abused by his father, and his father just left them. Mm-hmm. And the mother was addicted to drugs. And her name is Jolinda Wade. And had a real rough life, and, drug houses and all this kind of stuff. Mm. And, you know, suddenly when she went to jail for, you know, what she had done, when Dwayne came to visit her in jail, it just clicked. She was so angry with herself that she had gotten to this point, and as she's watching her little boy on the outside of that cell see her in that condition, she was just angry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we all been there, right, where you just get angry.
Yeah.
And and she began to not forgive herself. She's just angry, and she got out, and she tried to do things right, but she ended back on drugs again. And finally, long story short, she ends up just giving her life to God and getting set free. Mm-hmm. I mean, wow. She was so touched by God that she became a pastor.
Oh, wow.
You know, her name is Pastor Jolinda Wade. And Dwayne saw his mother through all these transitions. He saw her in the bottom, and now he sees her where she is. And now, because of his success, he was able to buy his mother a $2 million church building.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome? A $2 wow. million. Wow. He's given a testimony, you know, at the church. He said, listen, you know, I've seen her at the bottom, and now I've seen her at the top. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about spiritual blessings, what she has and she is right now. And, of course, she's been quite a pastor for quite some time in the context of that. But since his success, that he was able to buy her a $2 million church building. And I just thought it was so cool. What a big turnaround.
Wow.
And you can find out more about them. Her church, I believe, is in Detroit. I'm not sure. And, of course, he's with the Miami Heat. And just follow them and just say how much that their testimony means to you, you know, for God. Here she was. You think it's totally over. Your father leaves. Your mother is on drugs in the streets. She's in drug houses. She's arrested. She says she's going to make a difference, and she doesn't. And she said, all this time, you know, my kids were loving me. But because I would not forgive myself, it kept me from receiving their love. I couldn't feel it. I couldn't receive it. You know, and so many people are being loved, but because they hate themselves, because you, maybe it's you, maybe you hate yourself or you haven't forgiven yourself for, you know, what you've done or what you did, whatever it is. And somebody's trying to love on you and you accuse them all the time. You know, you don't love me. You don't love me. Like those people go, I don't ever win anything. You know, it's like nobody's ever loved you. And what it is the person, you can't receive love until you forgive. It's like it puts this cold, crisp, hard heart shell over your heart. And when people are loving on you, don't feel it. It doesn't seem real to you. You know why? Because you feel the enemy's convinced you that you don't deserve love for what you did, or your failure, your mistake. You know, you're in jail again. You did the drugs again. You know, you whatever again, and you just decided when you sought the devil for counsel that okay, I'm not going to forgive myself. I'll punish myself by not forgiving myself. And what happens is you end up punishing everybody else in your life because they feel the pain of your unforgiveness. You're harsh and mean and hateful. And you justify that by saying, well, I treat myself that way. It's like, okay, just treat yourself. Don't treat us that way. Mm-hmm. And it's almost an impossible thing. You know, I always say, you know, if you're going to hit yourself, you know, don't swing big because you might hit me too.
Right.
And it's, if you don't let it go, the end of that's not well. The end of it's not well at all. And you love others. He says, love others how you love yourself. And if we're wondering why we struggle with having empathy and compassion for other people, quite often it's tied to self-hate, you know, being hard on oneself, constantly listening to what the devil has to say about you and being in agreement with it. And you kind of give yourself permission to hate yourself. The thing is that therefore he says, you know, in conjunction with that, you cannot, the parallel of that, that you cannot give to others what you refuse to receive yourself. And you're going to have to be able to receive God's love. And it's very important. Especially if you say that you're a Christian, you're walking with God, realize God is love. But there's no love in your life. Think about it. There's no love in your life. There's no fruit of the Spirit of love in your life. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is long-suffering. Love keeps no records of wrong. It doesn't delight in evil. I mean, all the things about love. And he says it doesn't matter what you do. If you do all this stuff, even for him, and accurately use your gifts, like prophesying and healings and miracles. He said, listen, if you don't have love, it's nothing.
That's right.
It's just nothing. So it's important for you. Don't skip over the fact of thinking, I can keep on just, you know, being married, being a parent, you know, being a minister or whatever, and not deal with a Christian and not deal with, this is a serious issue if love's not flowing in your life.
That's right.
First of all, you're missing love himself. Because that's what the good news is about Jesus Christ. He forgives. He forgives. And if he forgives, who are we to hold unforgiveness? So if God forgives us, then we should forgive ourselves. And it really, believe it or not, it's kind of wild. But and we'll talk about it in the wisdom moment today, that pride is self-awareness. I think more pride is demonstrated off of feeling bad about oneself than being overly confident in oneself. It's this deep black hole, this deep spiral of self. I mean, you get around somebody that's deep in pride, which means self-aware, whether they're you know, arrogantly confident, overly confident about themselves, or whether they're just constantly beating themselves up. Either way, you feel like you're falling into a black hole. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going in, hold me, throw a rope after me. They're sucking me into their pride. Help me, I'm gonna die. You know, it's like this black hole in space, you're just getting sucked into it. And it's like, are we talking about you again? Oh my goodness, help us. No, it's okay, I'm talking bad about myself.
Right.
So I was just saying, I'm not saying anything good about myself. I'm beating myself up. And it's pride.
Yeah.
It's, and this, when you understand that, it helps you forgive yourself because you're thinking, oh my goodness, I thought I was, and it's really called false humility.
Mm-hmm.
It's false humility, which is another definition for pride. It's when we think beating ourselves up is doing God a favor. It's a works mentality. And if anybody, I like what Rick Joyner writes in his book, one of his books, he wrote that the stingers for the devil, probably. I don't know what was the name of it. But anyway, was if there's one people that God can't use, it's people with false humility. They're constantly beating themselves up. Well, first of all, the message you have delivered is not love. So we don't mind you not being used. It's not a great loss until you deal with your stuff. Yeah?
I think it was Epic Battles of the Last Days.
Yes, that's it. Epic Battles of the Last Days. And so when you think about it, it's pride. When you think about false humility, you know, I'm beating myself up. I'm not good. And I make mistakes and yada, yada, yada. And you realize, okay, that's pride. It's easier to repent from that than to think, I just need to forgive myself and have no meaning and no foundation to that. But when you realize it's idolatry and self-focus, and you got to move beyond that and take it to the cross like everything else, and that it's pride, and God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, it makes you just want to say, you know what? I'm not going to have any pride in my life. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of that. And more people do harm to others because of false humility. They hurt other people under the guise, it's okay because I'm hurting myself. I don't treat myself any better than that. Not realizing the same consequences are going to happen even if you were arrogant and cocky and you know, thought that you were better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you think that you're better or whether you think that you are not better, you are on your mind. And he says, unless you deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me, you can only have a part of me. Now, is that how it goes? He says, if you pick up your cross, he says, if you're going to follow me, you got to pick up your cross and deny yourself. And if you don't do this, you can't even have a part. Mm-mm. A part. Ooh. Think about it. A part of me. Read the red letters. It will change and it'll fundamentally transform your walk.
Sure will.
With God, and it will really help you out. Yes, yeah, so Dwayne Wade's mother is now a pastor, I believe, with her husband. And Dwayne's given a testimony at her church talking about how he's seen her at the bottom, now he's seen her at the top, and he wasn't talking about the top of money and stuff, but just at the top of how God's restored her life and using her now. And she says to Dwayne that you are my hero, and he says, you are my hero.
Wow. Mm.
Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
That's cool.
You are my hero. After all that, can you imagine your kids seeing you, and some of you may have gone through this, and your kids are seeing you trying to shake this thing. You're trying to shake this drug, and you fell back into it again. You know that your kids are you know, seeing you drunk on the streets or seeing you with the drugs or seeing you in this, you know, with this drug dealer and stuff, and you just said you're not going to do it anymore. And all that humiliation and all that pain and all the things that come to that. And then hearing down the road after God restores and forgives and everything, that you're their hero.
Mm.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Wow. Powerful.
Yeah.
That is totally, totally beautiful.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a prison guard share his faith with inmates? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for a correctional facility for the state of New York. I was wondering, some of the inmates come up to me a lot of times and they ask me different questions about my faith, being that they know that I'm a Christian. I was wondering if there's if I can get in trouble for sharing my faith with these inmates.
Well, I don't think you should. I mean, if there's someone, an inmate asks you in a conversation about your beliefs and your faith, I think the appropriate thing to do is to answer the question. I would first check with the Department of Corrections to see if they have guidelines, but I will say that most government employers recognize that you're free speech rights, including your right to have conversations, unless there was a security issue reason why not to, that it would be protected, and that discussing your beliefs, especially as a Christian, and what it's meant in your life would certainly be something that's appropriate.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Silent night, holy night.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I love abiding because it's not something that I have to do.
Right.
It's something that I get to do.
Isn't it exciting? Oh my goodness, if you only knew how exciting this is. Like, okay, finally, I get my abiding time. Yeah, it makes it all worthwhile, don't it?
Yeah, think about it. I get a chance to be with God every morning.
With God.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I have an audience with anyone else. You know, I mean, I have an audience with cabinet members or government officials or anyone of that type of importance. But you know what? I have an audience with the King of Kings. You know what I mean?
King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Awesome.
Well, you know, this morning as I was reading in the Word, I started meditating on a thought. You know, everybody wants the blessing of God. You know, Greg, everybody wants God on their side. I mean, who wouldn't? Someone goes on an interview and they're about to get on the interview. Can you please pray for me? Oh, sure, I can pray for you. You know, want God on our side. You know, you have children issues. You know, ever had some of those before, you know, young and old? Can you please pray for my kids? I need God on my side. Maybe some marriage issues, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Is God out there? Need God out there? Yeah, yeah. Never right. Turn down prayer, you know?
Right.
And people out there can have money issues. And it's like, oh my goodness, I need God. I need God on my side. Well, there's a little secret. Not really a secret, Greg, because it's really found in God's Word. But James chapter 4, verse 8, just flew off the page to me as I was reading it this morning. And the Word of God says, come near to God, and He will come near to you.
So you're saying that we make an approach. We begin to come, our abiding time, we just begin to go hang out with Him.
Absolutely. You know, in the Old Testament, King Saul, the Word of God says that he built an altar for the Lord. And it was the first time he had done that. He made an abiding place. He set a set time and a set place where he can just read and spend time. He really didn't read, you know, but we read. Spend time with God. And we take the first step.
King Saul. He didn't hang out. He quit hanging out after a while, I think. He quit abiding after a while.
Yeah, after a while. But he started out good. You know, started out good. And
so it's important not only just to begin abiding, but just to, you know, to continue.
Absolutely. You know, and so many times, you know, we can get into the trap of maybe seeking the Lord's hand, God's hand, but we're not seeking His face. We're not seeking Him. And, you know, we definitely want to be able to do that. We want to be able to spend time with Him and be encouraged that if we are on the Lord's side, if we are drawing close to Him, then He is with us. We can have that full assurance of knowing that God is with us. Jeremiah 33 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And that's an inheritance for us as we spend time and read His Word and listen to what God really would want us to know for that day, that daily bread. And I want to encourage anyone that maybe you're not as close as where you want to be. Maybe you haven't drawn close to God. Well, guess what? You can today. You can today. God's promise is that if you return to Him, He will return to you. And so I enjoyed reading that this morning. I was just blessed and encouraged to know that the Lord is with me because I am with Him.
That is so good because, you know, sheep have a tendency to wander. You know, we go, you know, we eat at this grass for a while and we're going like, that grass looks a little bit green. I wonder what that grass tastes like, right? I mean, you know, we're not sheep.
Right.
Nobody compared us to sheep. And I know that I remember when Pat and I were over in Israel and we were there with a shepherd. Remember that, Pat? When we were, where they were the shepherd, and
he was
sitting there watching his sheep, and they had, I don't know how many sheep they were. How many they were?
It was probably 20, 30 sheep.
So it was 75.
actually, it was 26 sheep.
Well, it was more than 26, wasn't it? It had to be.
Well, they were scattered all over the plains. So it was kind of hard to
count. But they were together. They were scattered together. Yeah. And so he was sitting there in his straw hat, and he looked kind of just calm and all that kind of stuff. So I said, you know, I'm going to go out there and see if I can get close to the sheep. And then the entire herd just kind of moved away, like, and somebody other than the shepherd, you know, and the shepherd just sat there with his two little sheep dog. And he probably just said, "You stupid Americans." No, that's German. He wouldn't have said that. It would have been more like, I can't speak. Can you speak Hebrew?
No.
Okay. John can. He's deeply, deeply, he's got a pedigree.
No.
Diesel has a pedigree. It was really interesting that, you know, he says, "My sheep know my voice." Mm. And they were looking back at the shepherd to see how, you know, who is this American here in Israel? I don't know if we were in Tiberias. I don't know. Maybe Tiberias, because we actually were at the house of prayer and then got and took off, and somehow we're down there with Karen. And so, but it was really cool to kind of see it. You know, today I have a picture in my office that has, there was a shepherding contest out of Georgia, northern Georgia there. And by the way, if anybody's listening from northern Georgia, I would like some more pictures of that. I'll find out what it's actually called. But the shepherds, all the sheep are gathered around this oak tree, and he has his sheepdog right beside him, and he's got his shepherd's rod under his arm. And he's sitting there in a pair of jeans, and like a denim jacket or something. And he has a distance from the sheep, just like the shepherd did over in Israel. And it's just so cool that, you know, I want to encourage you. And this, we're going to have this conversation. We're going to be talking over our conversation that, listen, God wants shepherds over his flock. And, you know, if you're caring for someone, if you're helping disciple them, if you're seeking to attend a training like VFNU, you know, Vine Fellowship Network University, which we'll talk about maybe a little bit in this show. But, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for somebody to be looking over God's people. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "God is not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and continue to help them." And see, if anything is trying to keep you and from protecting and taking care of God's people, telling you that it's not valuable, whatever the lie is, it's the lie from the father of lies. It's Satan just, you know, firing, you know, thoughts into your mind and your heart and telling you, you know, who are you? You can't do this and you can't do this. And listen, you know, I don't care who's fighting for me. I'm glad they are. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And we're doing. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Greater love have no man than to lay down his life for his friend.
Right. And you think about it. David is a good example of how he fought for God's people. You know, when he finally got to the place of leadership over God's people, he said this words. He says, "I know why you got me here. You brought me here to protect your people." Mm. And the Lord says, you know, if the shepherds, present shepherds, don't do it, I'll raise up for myself shepherds. And I'm going to encourage you that we're personally seeing many shepherds raised up. And we're starting to see even more of them start to be alerted and finding out, you know, inside of me, there's a desire inside of me to look over God's people and see that they're protected and that they're discipled and that they're loved. And it's just really cool to see God do that. You know, God's raising up shepherds, you know, for himself. And what's so cool, you know, what you're talking about your abiding time this morning, John, that when we draw near to God, when we draw near to God, you know, he draws near to us. That is so encouraging because, you know, we got to take that first step. You know, he took the first step while we were yet sinners. He died for us. But now it's time for us to take that next step.
That's right. And we can take that step. You know, all it takes is just our hearts open and willing to be able to communicate to the Lord and say, "Hey, God, I'm here. I'm here. I want all that you have for me." And once we take that first step, God makes himself available to us. It's just a beautiful, beautiful relationship.
Yes.
Why would you give something to somebody if they didn't want it? And you taking that first step is clearly telling the Lord, hey, you want them.
You know, think about it. It's not only just beautiful. It's just cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we're seeing 8-year-olds, you know, get a word from the Lord.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. The $50 Eye Guys, where they have everything from racks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. That was something that came up that God spoke to me and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person. Yes. Another person. It's living and
active. Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly.
Right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but God knows, you know, how to speak to us. And,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just, it's powerful. You know, it's life-changing.
Yeah. When you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called, and by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org. I want to encourage you, you know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you know, you want to be close to him, you want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn his ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning his ways will end up following some ways that are not his ways, and eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Find Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us at the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But It's at VFNU for VFN University, vfnu.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN Radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
You know, I was thinking, just coming across and just thinking about stuff and praying, and started realizing, not realizing, but I guess contemplating that, you know, many people today are skeptical. You know, they seem to be suspicious of just about everything. And they become even not sure of themselves at times and just of others. And you look at the world and what's happening, there's so much falsehood and just deception in the land today. And one of the things that makes the Lord just so appealing and just so awesome is that he's faithful and that he's true. In the world that we live in, where there are lies, there are deceptions, things are not what they appear, God is so true and so real. And as believers, when we give our lives to the Lord, you know, we engage God through faith. We engage God through having obviously a relationship with him. But faith is the currency of heaven. It's how we believe God for everything, from salvation to everything, for growth and everything else in our life. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I mean, think about that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if we're going to come to him, we've got to believe. We've got to believe that he exists, man. He's going to reward us. And I think about an account in Mark 11, where Jesus was walking with the disciples and they were leaving Bethany. And Jesus was trying to get a fruit from trying to get a fig from the fig tree. And he gets approached and realized that there wasn't no figs on there. So he cursed the fig tree and kind of went on his way. And as they kind of finished their ministering and what they were doing, they were coming back. And the disciples say, you know, look. Actually, it was Peter. He said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the tree that you cursed has withered, as if he was shocked. And this is what Jesus' response to Peter was. He says, have faith in God. listen, there's so many people right now that are putting faith in so many other things. They're putting faith in themselves. They're putting faith in their jobs. They're putting faith in their resources. They're putting faith in their knowledge. They're putting faith in other people. But God instructs us to put our faith, the substance that pleases God the most, in Him. Then He says, I tell you the truth, that if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, think about how much time we spend praying. You know, are we really believing? Are we wishing? Are we hoping? Lord, would you? Can you? Maybe. And it's like we got to come to a point in our prayer that we're not asking just to ask. We're not hoping and wishing. But God's given us, He's showing us how to pray. He says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Right? Believe you, and not to doubt. And doubting is being undecided, skeptical, being, you know, unlikely, lack of certainty, lack of confidence. And the direct opposite of belief, which is to accept as true, to have confidence in the value of something, to accept it, to have a strong conviction. If we get back and forth being double-minded, we're not going to get anything from God. We're not going to be anything from God. And many are disappointed because they don't see their prayers answered. Many, they're disappointed. They're saying, God, what's happening? But you're not praying with belief. You're doubting every single thing that you're praying about, that you're asking God about. And it's time. It's time to pray the way Jesus instructed us to pray, with an expectation and anticipation that what we prayed and declared will and has happened. He says, believe that you have received it. Not believe that you will receive it, that you might receive it, right? Believe that you're going to receive it, right? But he says, believe that you have it. It's present. It's present. You have the title faith. You believe it. It's here. I've got it. I've got it now. And James talks about, James 1:6 says that, but when he asks, when you ask in prayer, you must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Listen, God's called us to believe for great things. He's calling us to pray. You know, God doesn't have a plan B. It's us. He's given us dominion on the face of the earth as believers. And he told Adam, and he's telling us, take dominion, rule and reign. Pray, my will be done. You know, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we got to believe God to step out in greater ways, to believe God for the harvest, to believe God for him to move in our own lives, to believe God to move in our family's life. You know, someone says, you know, oftentimes you hear people say, I'll pray for you, or can you pray for me? And it's like, are you really praying? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Are you praying with faith? And God doesn't want us to wish and to be double-minded, but he wants us to pray with certainty. He says, ask whatever you ask, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And I'm encouraged by that today. We want to encourage you today. Believe God. God's desire is for you to believe him, is to trust him in all of your ways, right? We're supposed to acknowledge him and not to be double-minded. You know, one of the things that as a parent, you when you have small children, you want them to trust you and to believe in what you're saying. So it's like, okay, come on, you know, I said it. You know, one of the things I like to do with my little girls, I put her on a little counter and I just tell her to jump. And it's so funny because I'll be so close and she'll jump and she'll smile. And then I'll get a further distance away. And she'll, you know, she can say, oh, he's going to catch me. And I go, come on, jump. And she's like, no, daddy. And I was like, come on and jump. And so she jumps and then she laughs again and put her back up. And it's like the Lord just says, listen, trust me. Mm. Trust me. Pray, believe, receive, declare it. And I'll tell you, if one can send 1,000 a flight and two can send 10,000 a flight, by ourselves, we're like a zero, right? But when we stand next to Jesus, the number one, automatically you become 10. And if the next person stands next to us, another zero, right? We're nothing without God. We become 100. And then another, you know, it's prayer. It's agreement. But if we don't believe, we don't believe. We have a bunch of unbelieving believers. We got to settle that in our heart. We got to settle that in our heart with God's word and say, God, I'm going to take you at your word. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it.
Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word but not doers, and so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and amen, but we're not doing it. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. He loves to deceive people, but I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. They're deceiving themselves. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening it, and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this, I got so convicted, I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great, this is great. They're not, when Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent, let me see you turn. Peter, repent. You know, it's turn, and we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you. Right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let her...
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
In heaven, in nature, see, and
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. That's so good. You know, the Word of God lets us know where Jesus says, will the Son of Man even find faith when he returns? So it means a lot of religion could be going on, but does anybody, you know, moving in faith, praying in faith? And what would be, if somebody was praying a prayer of faith, what would that sound like? I mean, give us a paradigm of that. So, you know, a lot of times we separate God from our heart and believe him out there, but we're not believing him through us, that it's something happening in our life and through our life. So how would that sound?
A prayer of faith. I mean, if you're praying for your healing, you're declaring, you're saying, God, I believe today that your word is true. I believe that your word says that by your stripes I am healed. So, Lord, I declare that in my life today, that I am healed by the blood of the Lamb. I am healed, God, because your word says it, and I receive it by faith. I receive it by faith, and I'm just going to, you know, continue to pray that out and believe that and confess it.
That's good. It's a power confession. I can feel that prayer. I can feel that prayer when you're
confession.
That's awesome. So in the area of healing and finances, what would finances sound like?
Well, Lord, I thank you that I'm blessed. You've called me to be the head and not the tail. Lord, I've honored you with your in the word, right? Because of tithing you give, Lord. And I just receive the blessings of the Lord in my life. I receive them today. I'm not going to look for my circumstances to dictate. You know, I'm not going to look at the natural. I'm going to believe in the spiritual. I'm going to believe what your word says, Lord, and I'm blessed. And I just receive the blessings of the Lord. I'm a giver. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm a giver, Lord. I'm a blessed person. And it's just declaring the word of God. It's not, you know, moving in doubt, not looking at your natural circumstances, but it's actually believing what God says.
And I felt that prayer. I felt that prayer, you know, and sometimes it's good just to hear people pray, and it kind of lets you know. And if you haven't ever gone to IHOP Kansas City's website at ihop.org, and listen to the prayer room. Listen to them pray. They pray 24 hours a day. Well, they pray, worship and play music and pray for all that together for 24 hours. And you can just begin to listen to people pray, and it'll help you begin to articulate a prayer. And you'll be surprised eventually. But praying in faith, you know, confessing God's word over you, what God's word says.
So important. So important, you know, because, and that's the thing, if we have only 19% of believers that are reading the actual word of God, how are we going to pray the word of God back to the Lord? You know what I mean? Right. We, spending time with God, abiding is so important because you're agreeing with God's word. It's beautiful to pray the word of God when you're abiding. That's powerful, you know, saying, Lord, I want to see this manifested in my life and be in agreement with the truth,
right,
until it gets locked on the inside of your faith.
Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book, The Mouth. I think it's called The Mouth. And he says every day he would take his Gus pills, P-I-L-L-S. And he took the scriptures and he wrote them in a way that you're actually speaking first person about yourself.
Yeah.
And begin to just, you know, confess these things over. You notice that the enemy's taken over the airwaves and the sound waves of trying to speak things over. That's why Islam puts these towers up and have this Antichrist message coming out 5 times a day.
Yeah.
And because it's just, you know, claiming the airways. But if you can begin to speak over yourself, sometimes there's times when you're like David, everything just kind of goes awry. You're just trying to, somebody says, well, how come you have it? It's like, right now I'm just trying to survive. Yeah, he's trying to survive the guy that thinks I'm trying to take his job or something. So remember, Saul was actually running after him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just terrified that I'm trying to take his job, and I really respect him, but he's just fearful and self-minded and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But then he has to work with the people he doesn't want to work with, and the very people he was protecting, and he didn't even ask to be with them in the first place. They came to the cave he was in, and everything just kind of progressed from there. Now they're even turning against him. And so he had to encourage his own self in the Lord.
Yeah, think about what we talked about yesterday. You were talking about self-hate. That a lot of people are into self-hate, and there's a segment that we're talking about forgiveness and receiving with Dwayne Wade's mother, that, you know, her testimony was that she was in prison and her son had to see her in prison, she had a lot of self-hate to get over. And I love what David says in the Psalms. He says, listen, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows right well. And it's like, man, confessing that there's so much self-hate today, and people are just, you know, looking at themselves and comparing their bodies, and this is ugly, and that's ugly, and this, and that's like, listen, You got to get God's perspective. You got to get God's perspective on who he says that you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I used to have a little sign. Actually, my mother gave it to me when I was a young kid in school, and I had it in my mirror. And it said, "God, you are okay because God doesn't make junk." Can't tell you how that little thing on my mirror when I was a kid helped me for such a long period of time as I was getting ready in the morning to go to school and remembering that, you know what, I'm okay. I'm okay. That's right, because God doesn't make junk. Everything that God does is good.
That's very good. That's very good. And you just begin to speak what God says over you. There's so many different ways that you can do that. But just as you read the scripture, think about writing them out in personal application to your life. You know, blessed is, you know, the man that abides, and that if you abide, then you're fruitful. And then you can take that whole John 15 and begin to just write it out in a way that's an affirming statement over you. You can begin to write out Joshua chapter 1 like it's affirming, and you just say, this is who I am. And you're confessing what not yet has manifested in your life by faith, knowing that that's going to happen. And that's just that's so important to do. And that's why you have to have clear vision for where you're going, as we're talking about also in the first hour. Because if you don't have clear vision, you can't get a clear word. If you can't get a clear word, you can't get a clear direction for what you're going to be doing. And so how can you have faith in blurriness and ambivalence? You can't.
Right.
A double-minded man
gets nothing.
Nothing from God. And it's not necessarily about when you're beginning to determine what's going to, you know, God's going to do. It's not about, you know, good. It's about God. A lot of good things are getting in the way of God things, because people say, that's a good thing. Aren't I supposed to be doing that? And it's like, you know, hey, you know, just you need to do, all you got to do is do something what God has called you to be able to do something about.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spa. If you're looking to make some additions to your home, consider today visiting Joyce at Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spa, and they ship nationwide. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse, and things that were going on. But understand this, there came a day when suddenly he began to speak it, and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center, because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth, to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to VineFellowshipNetwork.org every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately, live on VFN Radio. Find out more at VineFellowshipNetwork.org.